भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासां ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत्सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। सो टुडे वी आर कंटिन्यूइंग रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 एंटाइटल्ड क्रिएशन चैप्टर 11 एंटाइटल्ड लॉर्ड कृष्णास एंट्रेंस इनटू द्वारका टेक्स्ट 26 श्रियो निवासो यस्योरह पानपात्रं मुखं दृशां बाहवो लोकपालानां सारंगानां पदांबुजां। वर्ड फॉर वर्ड मीनिंग्स श्रियः of the goddess of fortune, Nivasah, residential place, Yasya, one whose, Urah, chest, Panapatram, the drinking pot, Mukham, face, Drisham, of eyes, Bahavah, the arms, Lokapalanam, of the administrative demigods, Sarangaanam, of the devotees who talk and sing, of the essence or substance, Padambujam, the lotus feet. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: the Lord's chest is the abode of the goddess of fortune. His moon-like face is the drinking vessel for eyes which hanker after all that is beautiful. His arms are the resting places for the administrative demigods, and His lotus feet are the refuge of pure devotees who never talk or sing of any subject except His Lordship. Translation, please repeat. The Lord's chest is the abode of the goddess of fortune. His moon-like face is the drinking vessel for eyes which hanker after all that is beautiful. His arms are the resting places for the administrative demigods, and His lotus feet are the refuge of pure devotees who never talk or sing of any subject except His Lordship. Purport: there are different classes of human beings, all seeking different enjoyments from different objects. There are persons who are seeking after the favor of the goddess of fortune, and for them the Vedic literatures give information that the Lord is always served with all reverence by thousands and thousands of goddesses of fortune at the Chintamani Dham. the transcendental abode of the Lord, where the trees are all desire trees and the buildings are made of touchstone. The Lord Govinda is engaged there in herding the Surabhi cows as his natural occupation. These goddesses of fortune can be seen automatically if we are attracted by the bodily features of the Lord. The impersonalists cannot observe such goddesses of fortune because of their dry speculative habit. And those who are artists overtaken by the beautiful creation should better see to the beautiful face of the Lord for complete satisfaction. The face of the Lord is the embodiment of beauty. What they call beautiful nature is but his smile, and what they call the sweet songs of the birds are but specimens of the whispering voice of the Lord. There are administrative demigods in charge of departmental service of cosmic management, and there are tiny administrative gods in the state service. They are always afraid of other competitors, but if they take shelter of the arms of the Lord can protect them always from the attacks of enemies. A faithful servant of the Lord engaged in the service of administration is the ideal executive head and can well protect the interests of the people in general. Other so-called administrators are symbols of anachronisms leading to the acute distress of the people who are governed by them. The administrators can remain safely under the protection of the arms of the Lord. The essence of everything is the Supreme Lord. He is called the Saram. And those who sing and talk about him are called the Sarangas, or the pure devotees. The pure devotees are always hankering after the lotus feet of the Lord. The lotus has a kind of honey which is transcendentally relished by the devotees. They are like the bees who are always after the honey. Srila Rupa Goswami, the great devotee acharya of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, has sung a song about this lotus honey, comparing himself to be the bee. O my Lord Krishna, I beg to offer my prayers unto you. My mind is like the bee, and it is after some honey. Kindly therefore give my bee mind a place at your lotus feet, which are the resources of all transcendental honey. I know that even big demigods like Brahma do not see the rays of the nails of your lotus feet, even though they are engaged in deep meditation for years together. Still, O Infallible One, my ambition is such, for you are very merciful to your surrendered devotees. O Madhava, I know also that I have no genuine devotion for the service of your lotus feet. But because your Lordship is inconceivably powerful, you can do what is impossible to be done. Your lotus feet can deride even the nectar of the heavenly kingdom, and therefore I am very much attracted by them. O Supreme Eternal, please therefore let my mind be fixed at your lotus feet, so that eternally I may be able to relish the taste of your transcendental service. The devotees are satisfied with being placed at the lotus feet of the Lord and have no ambition to see his all beautiful face or aspire for the protection of the strong arms of the Lord. They are humble by nature and Lord is always leaning towards such humble devotees. Om Akyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatham Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarunam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyaevacha Patitanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here we continue discussing about Lord's entrance into the beautiful city of Dwarka. So this city is not same as the modern day cities. So in the modern day cities are basically places of the lowest modes of material nature. It's passion and ignorance. So even many people actually who live in the suburbs, there are some people who actually fear to come to city, to drive in the city or to just walk in the city. And many people are forced actually to come to the city, you know, the main central city, for example, here in Melbourne, the CBD, Central Business District. So many people are forced because you need to work to get money to maintain the body and the family. So they are forced, not by choice, but by circumstances. Sometimes people are forced to do that. So yesterday I was distributing books. I met one lady. She was saying it's a pressure in the city. It's a pressure there. You work like a machine, you know. You go to work, you have your lunch break. Everyone is running here and there. So there's so much pressure. But this city of Dwarka is totally different. It's situated in the transcendental mode of goodness. And there is the Lord is present there and His transcendental relatives are present there. So they are welcoming Lord Sri Krishna, who has just arrived from his journey. He went to Hastinapur to see his other devotees. So now he has returned and all the residents are welcoming him. So here in purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, he starts the purport as that everyone is actually seeking different types of enjoyments. So, search for happiness. Everyone is after happiness. But the problem is they are looking happiness in a wrong place. So if you lose something here and you look for it here, so you can't find it. So that's the cause of stress and depression. So this Krishna conscious movement is just telling and informing people that your search is not wrong. It is natural for a living entity to search for happiness. It's just that you're searching for happiness in a wrong place. It's like you're looking for water, ample water in desert. So that's the purpose of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, to inform and to give us an access of this great reservoir of nectar so that we can quench our thirst. So in the Vedas overall there are two paths described. One is Pravritti Marg, one is Nivritti Marg. So there are people at different levels of advancement. So not everyone is straight away attracted by this goal of renunciation, that okay, if you want to renounce this world and, you know, go back, get out of this world, that's actually the principle. Even that's the partial principle of Vedas present even in the philosophy of Buddhism. So Buddhism also says, okay, this world is, you know, it's miserable, so you get nirvana, you go out of nirvana, is this forest of material existence, and you go out, nirvana. But it doesn't tell us where to go. That's the thing. So Lord Buddha, of course, came to cheat the atheists. And so he did the transcendental cheating. He's an incarnation of Krishna. So this philosophy is very partial. In Krishna conscious philosophy, we get the full picture that, okay, you have to go out of this world, this is miserable. But it also tells where to go. So that's one path, that a Nivritti Marg, you have want to go out, but not everyone is attracted to this path. So there is another path, Pravritti Marg, which is about sense enjoyment. And you do various sacrifices, you go to heavenly planet, you can enjoy. So heavenly planets offer great great prospects for enjoyment. Surendra Loka, there's this Indra is present there. So the highest possible material enjoyment you can get is where Indra is. You can go there, you can, you know, drink soma ras. It's mentioned, you know, in the purport. This nectar present in heavenly planets. So that's one path. And slowly, actually, by following Vedas, one gets purified, and then he can come to the conclusion that okay, I'm enjoying here in heavenly world, but that's also temporary. It's not a permanent situation. So what is my permanent situation? So these are the two paths. But these days, most people, they are not following any one of these. So people even don't know how to go to heavenly planets. So they are trying to enjoy, and they are just doing sinful activities. So they are going to go to hell, basically. So they don't even know about any one of these paths. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is like the torchlight which gives us knowledge and which takes us beyond any limited sphere of happiness, and it takes us to the highest level of happiness. So the happiness sought after by the soul cannot be found in matter. So the famous example of the bird and the cage. So the bird cannot be actually satisfied if we just take care of the cage, which polish it, paint it, clean it. And if we neglect the bird, the soul, then the bird won't be satisfied. So that's why in Bhagavad Gita it says that people who are trying to satisfy the body, they're trying to give pleasure to the body, ultimately they won't get pleasure. So yehi sansparsha jaboga dukha yonaya evte adyantavantah kaunteya na teshu ramate buddha. So this sense pleasure is temporary. Dukha yonaya, it will give you misery basically. So people are trying to satisfy the senses in search of happiness, but it would end in misery. Why? Because adhyanta vanta kaunteya, there is a beginning and an end for such a pleasure, and that is very momentary. So it will give a great misery actually. And it takes us more and more away from the real goal of life. So that's why it's dukkha yona evate. So it will give great displeasure. So people are trying to take pleasure out of this material sense gratification, but it will give displeasure. But if we tell most people, they won't believe it. People think they are getting some juice out of life. So that's also explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, how that happens. So what is this feeling of getting this juice? So there, people are compared to animals basically. Shwavid vara oshukarai sam sutta purusha pashu. So people are compared to dogs, hogs, camels and asses. So why they are compared to camel? So what does camel do? It takes a thorny bush and eats it. And it pricks its tongue and there's blood. And he thinks the bush is so juicy. So this is the pleasure people are after. Sansparshaja bhoga. So they chew the thorn and their own blood, they think it's juice. So this is illusion of material world. But here, today's verse, it tells us about the real nectar which can be derived from the lotus feet of Lord. So that's real nectar. So there's two meanings of the word amrita. Amrita means nectar, the juice, and it also means amrita. Amrita means death. Amrita is immortality. So this is the actual nectar which will give us immortality. And the other one, as we discussed, it was Adya Antavanta. Adi and Anta, there is a big beginning and an end. So that's not a real Amrita or immortality. So the immortality is present here at the lotus feet of Lord. So this Srimad Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva. So it is said in the second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kim Vaparer Ishwara. That what is the need of any other scripture? This Srimad Bhagavatam created by Mahamuni. So there are so many munis and the Mahamuni is Vyasadeva. So he created this Srimad Bhagavatam in his maturity. So he wrote so many, divided the Vedas, he wrote Mahabharata and different literature, and still he was not satisfied. And then, when he became really mature, then he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam by guidance of his Guru Narad Muni. So here is the real nectar is present. And Purport Srila Prabhupada writes, this nectar comes from the lotus feet of Lord. So this whole Bhagavatam is the body of Krishna. So the first two cantos are compared to the two lotus feet of Lord. So at the moment we are deriving this nectar, we are in first canto, chapter 11. So we are deriving this nectar from the lotus feet of Lord. So at another place in 10th canto it's given, these topics of Lord are just like nectar, and when we hear these topics, so our ears are compared to the cups. So this nectar is flowing. So the flow is described there, how it flows. So these topics, which are about the lotus feet of Lord, so the great sages, the devotees, pure devotees, they are always meditating on the lotus feet of Lord. So this nectar is always there in the minds of these great devotees. Their mind is filled with nectar and then it flows down to their tongue and lips and it flows out. So nectar comes like this. That's the flow given in 10th canto. So these great pure devotees, when they speak about Krishna, the nectar starts flowing from their mind to their mouth, and then it goes, and one who hears these topics, they catch the nectar in the cups of their eyes. So that's the flow. So this is a practice, that how to catch it. Like yesterday Gopavindesh Prabhu was telling, that every single occasion that we would hear about Krishna, topics related to Krishna, it would give us a fresh pleasure. It's not, it is repetitive, but it will give us a fresh taste. It won't be boring. So we need to be open for that. That's there's a saying, you know, the mind and the parachute works when it's open. So when we hear about the topics of Lord, we should, our ears and mind should be open, and we should be ready and expecting that, okay, today what's the realization that my reading or my hearing would bring, or any service actually, whatever service we do, it could bring us great realization. So we should be open to that rather than become mechanical, which is very easy. That is complacency, that we can just become mechanical. So it's very common, it's not a unnatural thing. But if we, by practice, we are aware that, oh, now Krishna is going to interact. Let's be ready for it, like that. So then we can catch this nectar. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, it's also described that actually this is our duty. There is nothing, nothing very artificial. This is our, actually the soul's duty, to hear and chant about the Lord. So there are three occupational duties. Everyone is performing some duty. When you go for a job, so they give the duties, you know, the list, the job description. There are various duties. If you are in this position, assistant manager, so you make sure you follow this, a checklist. So same way, all living entities, they are performing some duties. But these duties are on three levels. Dharma swanushtita pumsan vikshak sena katasuya nol paryad yadiratim shram evahi kevalam. But these duties are to be performed for pleasure of Krishna. Otherwise, it will remain only a useless waste of, you know, labor. It's just a useless waste of time, laboring for nothing. If we don't perform whatever we are doing for pleasure of Krishna, so doesn't matter we are doing, if we are a pujari, if we are a cook in the kitchen, temple kitchen, or we are working a job, we are a housewife, doesn't matter. But if we do whatever we do for pleasure of Krishna, that is the topmost occupational duty. Otherwise it's a useless waste of time. So three types of duties are described as, one is basically based on the bodily platform. So on the bodily platform, it's of two types. One is concentrated, that Prabhupada says is present in even in animals, the lower animals. They are just concerned about the their body, like that. And in human beings, you see this to expand a little bit. So human being thinks, okay, I have a obligation to my family. So that's like, you know, there's a little, the circle expands a little bit. So there's body, and the family is related to the body. So I have a duty for the family. And then it expands further to the society, community, nation, humanity, like that. So this is present in human beings. It can expand. But basis is the same, the bodily conception of life. And the second occupational duty Prabhupada describes is based on the mental platform. That's like the poets and the philosophers. They are doing occupational duty on the based on mind. But the final, the third occupational duty is the topmost, which is based on the fact that we are spirit soul and part of the super soul. So we have a duty in that relationship. So that is topmost, and that is bhakti or Bhagavad Dharma. The real dharma of the soul is to serve the super soul, Krishna. So that's the real duty. So if one performs this process of hearing and chanting, so we develop this great attachment to Krishna's lotus feet. So there's this description. The second chapter of first canto is the divinity and divine service. There, very important verses are there which gives us the progress of bhakti, how bhakti increases. So in His Grace Bhurijan Prabhu's book, Unveiling the Lotus Feet, he gives the comment of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur about this progress of bhakti. So as we know, there are 9 stages from Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha and further up to Prema. So that's also described by Acharyas that the, as we were mentioning last week, that about the Shiksha Ashtak, the 8 verses, they describe various levels of bhakti from Shraddha to Prema. So same way, these 6 verses in the second chapter of first canto, they describe these levels. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes them in little different way than Shraddha to Prema exactly, but they are very close. So we are having this retreat by His Grace Bhurijan Prabhu. So those who are here, you're missing that. So I tried to get something from his book so that we will still get his realizations here, so we won't miss his association. So here he mentions there's 14 stages. So this verse number 16 of second chapter, it starts from there. Shushru Sho Shadda Dhanasya Vasudev Katharuchi Syam Mahasevya Vipra Punya Tirtha Nishedhanan. That when you serve a pure devotee, then what happens? Then you get the taste to hear about Lord. So that's why when we have we see that while reading or in class we feel sleepy or we have no interest. Sometimes we feel enthusiastic, we read for half an hour, 1 hour, then okay, that's it. Because there is no taste. There is some taste, but it's not developed as yet. So, that's good. I mean, at least we are identifying that. So, most people, they don't even identify that. So, we can work on it and go from one stage to another. So, here it says, this particular verse actually gives 5 stages. So it says that first stage is this mercy of devotee. So how it all begins? Even before faith, it says the mercy of devotee, what he does, he creates service opportunity. So we can serve a devotee. So by his mercy, he creates an opportunity and lets others serve him or her. And then when a person serves a devotee, so this service is the second stage. This Mahatseva, Syam Mahatsevya Vipra Punya Tirtha Nishedhanan. So these devotees, pure devotees, are called Tirtha, Punya Tirtha. So when we serve them, then what happens is this great faith develops. So faith is developed by serving a devotee, and this service opportunity exists because of mercy of devotees. So then, when faith is there, one wants to approach a bona fide guru and take his shelter. And then when we take the shelter, then what develops in the heart is called bhajaneshu spriha. It's like the eagerness to do more hearing and chanting and service. So these are the stages described in this particular verse. And then further, the next verse, very famous verse, most of you would have heard this one. Shrimatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridya Stantoya Bhadrani Vidunoti Suvitsatam. So when one develops this urge to hear the message of Lord, then the Vidunoti Suvitsatam, the Lord is the benefactor of the devotee who has developed this urge, and he cleanses the heart of such a devotee. So then, there is this eagerness when you hear the message of Lord, then the heart is cleansed. And the next verse, that's even more popular, Nash Prayasho Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavat Sevita Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhagavati Nashtaki. So this actually tells us that the Anartha Nivritti stage, Nashta Prayasho Bhadreshu, whatever is disturbing to the heart is destroyed. This lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, madness, all these things, these enemies of the heart. So when we hear the message of Lord very attentively and submissively, these are the qualities, very submissively and attentively, with rapt attention, then our heart is cleansed. And then what happens? Bhakti bhavati nashtiki. This bhakti is established within the heart as an irrevocable fact. This nishta, this is the level of nishta. So we can see how step by step we serve a devotee, we got this taste to hear, by hearing all the anarthas went away, and now we are fixed in our service. We want to do some service on and on with fixed firmness. Small things won't affect us now. So this is the level. And then further, how we develop taste is described in the next verse. Tada rajastamo bhava kam lobadayeshe chedaitarya anavritam stitam sattve prasidati. So here, now the lower modes stop acting on such a devotee. This rajas and tamo, this mode of passion and ignorance, they stop acting. And then stitam sattve prasidati, we are established firmly in the mode of goodness, pure goodness. And then that's the stage of asakti or attachment. Now when we have taste for Krishna consciousness, hearing, doing service, and soon after that, if we continue that, we become attached to such service. And then actually the real joy begins, the real fondness, we develop like a fondness for this devotional service. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogata bhagavad tatva vijnana mukta sangasya jayate. So that's the verse number 20. So here it describes that so this is prasanna manaso, the real joy comes out. So now the devotee is blissful always. In the initial phases, when he doesn't have this ruchi or the taste, so you don't have taste for Krishna, means we have taste for material sense objects. But when we reach this stage of ruchi, at that stage, it is said, of course the sense objects attract, but they don't like pierce the heart. In the beginning stages, there are sense objects and they pierce the heart. So, like that. And here, and when they pierce the heart, then there is moroseness. Because there are so many desires and we can't get all of them. So then we become sad. Oh, things are not working my way. There was one, like a batch in on which Krishna was drawn, and it was written, I am the way. So if we do things Krishna's way, then it is this stage, evam prasanna manaso. So then we are always blissful. So that's why in spiritual world, when we see, there is no duality. This duality arises from material sense perception. Yesterday with one devotee we were discussing that, in material world there is duality. So we have heat, cold, winter, summer, and happiness, sadness, like that. So in Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna instructs, how to overcome this duality? Matra sparshastu kaunteya shitoshna sukha dukhada agamapayana nitya stansi tiksha swabharata. So there is summer and winter season, this and that. But you just be tolerant and tolerate all this and keep going with your duties. And then you can overcome this duality. So duality of material world is actually, we were discussing with one devotee, that actually both the options are bad. There is summer or winter, okay, which is bad? I like this one or this one. Both are bad. So in material world, it's dukkha. In the place of misery, how can anything be good? So that's why devotees don't dwell. I mean, physically we stay here, but our mind should be at the lotus feet of Lord, and that is Vrindavan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, my mind is Vrindavan. So there is this album also, this CD also by Kadam Kanan Maharaj, said my mind is Vrindavan. So our mind should always actually be in Vrindavan. Physically it doesn't matter where a devotee is. That's why devotee is not afraid that wherever your physical location is, oh, in Melbourne or in India or wherever in the world, a devotee is even ready to go to hell, provided his mind is in Vrindavan. So that's the prayer by all devotees. Doesn't matter where you physically locate me, just don't remove this remembrance of your lotus feet from my mind. So that's the only prayer of a devotee. This smaranam. And when this smaranam is there, then there is a direct audience of Krishna. So that's the stage, these last few stages of development of bhakti. This prema, devotional, love, and the darshan of Lord. This all when your mind always is at the lotus feet of Lord, you are always having a vision of Lord. And then Hare Madhurya Nubhava, that you experience the sweetness of Lord. When you are always seeing Lord, then we can experience His sweetness. So in this verse we are seeing how today's verse, that by seeing Lord through their eyes, these residents of Dwarka, they are experiencing the sweetness of Lord. So they are describing the Lord's chest is like a abode of goddess of fortune. They are describing His various bodily features and how they are relishing these features. So there is a similar verse in 10th canto. I'll just read. They are the gopis, the topmost devotees of Krishna. So they are praying to Lord. It's a very similar verse. So they say, seeing your face encircled by curling locks of hair, your cheeks beautified by earrings, your lips full of nectar, and your smiling glance, and also seeing your two imposing arms, which take away our fear, and your chest, which is the only source of pleasure for the goddess of fortune, we must become your maid servants. So that's our goal. We want to become servant of Krishna. So this prayer is there in 10th canto. So when we meditate on different limbs of Lord, when we take darshan, there's an effect. It's not that, okay, we saw a beautiful decoration and that's it. When we go out for sightseeing, you know, yeah, we get temporary joy, but that's it, you know. It doesn't do much. But here, the darshan of Lord is totally different. So, in 2nd canto also it's described, if someone wants to get rid of all material miseries, so while taking darshan, one should concentrate on the smile of Lord. So when we look at the smile of Lord, all our material miseries will go away. If someone wants to get rid of lust, so where we should concentrate? On the eyebrows. Of course, wherever you look at the Lord, it's a whole sweetness. But in 2nd canto, it specifically describes, if you want to get free from lust, just concentrate on the eyebrows of Lord. So here, description of Lord's arms, powerful arms. It takes away all the fear. So when we look at the Lord's arms, what we think? Oh, Lord's arms are so powerful, and then we can become fearless. So Lord's powerful arms, what did they do? They killed Kamsa. Such a big, he was pretty much like a wrestler. And he invited other big wrestlers as well. But Krishna, with his strong arms, he just killed him. And when he was just 7 years old, with his arms, he lifted the Govardhan hill, the whole hill. So when we meditate on these pastimes, we become fearless.
like that.
So that's the way of taking darshan of Lord. So taking darshan from eyes, from ears, when we hear these topics of Lord, so it has an effect. So only the way of this darshan or way of hearing is very important. So it's described in the past time, you know, when Vidura, he was present in Hastinapur. So Dhritarashtra wanted his son Duryodhan on the as the king. So by cheating, they defeated Yudhishthir and other Pandavas in the gambling match, and they had to go to the forest. So when they came back, they wanted their kingdom back. And they, you know, they didn't give him. So there in third canto it describes that Krishna was present during all these incidents. So even then the war was declared, and finally Krishna goes to the palace of Dhritarashtra as a peace messenger. That final, okay, now the two armies are set to fight soon. So there is a last opportunity that, okay, just resolve the issues and please don't worry about the battle. So he went to the court of Dhritarashtra. So who all were present there? Dhritarashtra, Duryodhan, Shakuni, Bhishma Dev, Vidura, all these personalities were present. So there in third canto it describes that although Krishna was speaking there these lovely words, and some present there like Bhishma, as we read in the 9th chapter, he is a pure devotee of Lord. So he took the words of Krishna as pure nectar. And others like Dhritarashtra, Duryodhan, Shakuni, they just didn't take his words very seriously. And they were not at all moved. Rather, they were angry. And Duryodhan wanted to capture him. So it's same Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. But depending on the mood of the devotee, he acts differently. His words act differently. Like that. So our mood has to be changed. So Krishna takes our mood. Krishna is called Bhavagrahi Janardhan. And here these words, Saranga and other words are described. So what is devotee called? Devotee is called Sargrahi Vaishnava. Vaishnava is Sargrahi. It's like a swan. Swan takes the essential thing, the Hamsa. So that's why devotees are called Paramahamsa. They take the essential thing, the real nectar, out of the mixture of things. So Sargrahi Vaishnava. So a devotee, we must take the essence of all these scriptures. So it's not actually difficult, as the sages say, that it's not difficult to see Krishna. If someone asks, okay, have you seen Krishna? So we answer, yes, we have seen Krishna. And even you have seen Krishna. So is Krishna here? You can bring anyone. Anyone can see Krishna. But if our eyes are not trained, we wouldn't know what we are seeing. So we would miss Krishna. See, in Bhagavad Gita it describes that how actually Krishna is everywhere. Rasoham apsu kaunteya prabhashmi sashi surya. I am the taste, Krishna says, I am the taste of water, I am the light of sun and moon. So I was hearing lecture of His Holiness Devamrita Maharaj. He was saying, now who hasn't drunk water? Or who hasn't seen the light of sun and the moon? So everyone has seen this light, but we don't recognize. So he was saying that actually the wonderful thing is not that if you see Krishna. A wonderful thing is how you forget Krishna or don't see Krishna. He's everywhere and still you don't see. So that's more wonderful thing. So Krishna everything comes from Krishna. Sarvasya chaham riddhi sannivishto matra smritir jnanam apavanam cha. So this forgetfulness and remembrance both come from Krishna. So we have to be forgetful. So we have to choose our forgetfulness. Either we have to choose that, okay, we forget Krishna, or we have to choose we forget the influence of Maya. So for devotees, when they remember Krishna, Krishna makes them forget the effect of Maya. So that's why devotees, they are not affected by these various tribulations. Like Prahlad Maharaj, he was always remembering Krishna. And he was like thrown from the mountain, pierced by the spears and so many things, put into fire. But he just totally forgot. It was not even affecting him. So like that. So when we hear about Krishna very nicely and by practice, make this our life of hearing and chanting, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, then we can very easily neglect the effects of Maya. And then we can see Krishna always, all the time. So I would like to end there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed.
Yes. Dr. Sharma, thank you very much for a very wonderful lecture. How the lust was destroyed by seeing the eyebrow?
Oh. That's by the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam. So what is said there, we take as it is. Srimad Bhagavatam as it is. So we see the eyebrows, and that's the mystical potency of Krishna. And on the authority of Bhagavatam. Because Bhagavatam says, that's why. That you have to ask Vyasadeva or Krishna.
Eyebrows also moving.
Oh yes, there is one verse actually by in 9th chapter. Lalita Gati Vilasa Valgu Hasa Pranaya Nirikshana Kalpitorumana Krita Manu Krita Vatya Unmadanga Pranaya Nirikshana, like that. So there it says this smile and these glances of Krishna are actually very captivating. Yeah, they are moving, the moving eyes. His eyes are all very restless, and the eyebrows, and his sidelong glance. So when one is captured by his glance, then the material lust goes away. Yeah, that's the point. Any other questions or comments?
Yes. So once you were saying that it says that fear is removed when you meditate on the Lord's arms, what would be the significance of the Lord lifting Govardhan from his left arm and his pinkies?
Yeah, that is so powerful, you know.
Yeah,
that's left and
your arm, your right, because that's usually the strongest.
Yeah. So he definitely can protect us if he can do that. So it's just that he's so powerful, he lifted the whole hill with the small finger of the left hand. So he's so powerful. So that's why when we meditate on the arms of Lord, we see it's so powerful, they can protect us.
Fearless.
That brings us fearlessness. So we take full shelter of Krishna. Okay. Sorry?
Abhay,
yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.